You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. And also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Great stuff, man. Sorry you missed it. Cedric Golden was there. We did our college picks. All of that available on the website, ESPN975.com. I assume it's still available on the website, right, Jong, even though we're putting everything on Podcast Arena now?
I will double check with you, but if you go to Podcast Arena, everything's there.
Okay, so go to Podcast Arena, and that's also very mobile friendly. So it's got full shows; it's all done.
You feel John getting lazy on us?
You getting that vibe? Honestly, you know what it is. I think
the boss now.
I think John needs some help. I think he needs an assistant.
Maybe so. I mean, he's got interns, right?
Yeah, but he needs somebody to kind of take some of this off of him so he can kind of focus on the show.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that Bilotti's update, the audio was inaudible.
That wasn't on Jong.
I don't think that's on Jong either, but we may need to let good old Bilotti know.
Yeah, because he records those and sends them in. So, yeah, we might want to tell him that somebody said the Patriots tampered with it. But anyway, all that on Podcast Arena. And you can also listen to us on TuneIn Radio. You can also listen to us on the ESPN Radio app. And, of course, the old-fashioned way, on the radio. And we appreciate all of you listening, no matter how you're doing it. And, you know, we know you guys have options. We really appreciate you choosing the best option, and that's listening to us from 4 to 7. All right, here's where we're – this is where we're going to go through all the NFL games. And if you're not a gambler, and I know a lot of you are new to the show, the way we try to do things is, yes, we'll give you the gambling information about it, but we try to do it in terms of the game itself so that even if you're not into the betting, you get a little breakdown of each game. Does that make sense?
Right.
Is that fair? And we do the same thing with fantasy, so that it kind of goes beyond that. And we'll start with the Packers and Bears, where the Bears 7-point home dogs to the Packers. The Bears, over their last, I can't remember the stat, but over their last 2 years at home, they've been terrible. I don't know what to expect out of this Bears team. I think the Packers go in there and win. I'm not playing this, but I don't feel that bad about the Packers covering either. I'd like it to be one of those games that's on a 6.5 instead of a 7.
Yeah, I'll probably look at the Bears if I had to play this, but I have no interest in playing that game.
We'll save the Texans Chiefs for last. Jets now up to 3.5 against the Browns. I hate that half point popped up because when it was Jets minus 3, I really liked the Jets. I think the Jets win this football game. I don't think the Browns are going to be able to generate enough offense. I don't know that the Jets are going to generate much either, but I think they're a better team than the Browns. Not by much, but they're at home. I'm not playing it because of that half point, but if it gets down to 3, even 2.5, it goes the other way, I would take the Jets.
Yeah, I'm not interested in it at 3.5 either because I don't want to be on the Browns, period. But I don't want to play the Jets at minus 3.5. If I were playing anything, it'd be the under minus 39.5.
Yeah.
I think both of these are really bad offenses and pretty good defenses, so I think that you're going to see a really low-scoring game, maybe 17-13, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Indianapolis at Buffalo, and I'm starting to worry about this one because, what's that?
The lines this week are really spot on.
Yeah, that's why one of the best things, RJ always says, one of the best weapons you have is the ability to pass on a game.
And I know it sucks week one because everybody wants, you want to play.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I liked Buffalo when it was plus 3. I still like Buffalo. I think they're going to win the game outright, but I'm not crazy about this. I love that defense, and I think the Colts are going to struggle a little bit going up there. And Rex Ryan will have those guys ready. I like the Bills to win that game, but I'm not playing that one either. And, in fact, I have only maybe one play on the NFL this week that I feel good about.
I'll take 3 points on the Bills while they're at home.
Okay.
I hate it that Darius is out this game.
Yeah, that will make
a difference.
He really
is a factor for them, but I'll take 3 points while I can get it.
And here's another one where, with the Dolphins and Redskins, if it's just 3, I'm loving the Dolphins. Again, that half point really bugs me. But I'm going to take the Dolphins anyway here. I think they go in and house the Redskins. This is a better Dolphins team, and I think the Redskins are a complete mess right now. I hate Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. He turns the ball over too much. And I think the Dolphins not only go into Washington and win, but I think they win it pretty handily.
I probably lean that way as well. I think the Dolphins are good. I don't think they're special enough that I want to be betting them as road dogs regularly. But I think Washington is just terrible. So I'm probably with you on that, minus three.
All right, Panthers -3 at the Jaguars. There's a part of me that really wants to take the Jaguars here. I'd be more interested in the under, I think, 41.
There's a part of me that if I had to take, again, you have the ability to pass, and I would pass here. But if I had to do something, I'd take those 3 points in Jacksonville. I think these are two bad teams.
Yeah.
And you know, if I'm getting the 3 points for a home dog, I'll take that. I don't think the Panthers are 6 points better than the Jags.
And that's another one I'm not interested in. I might be interested in the Rams +4 against the Seahawks. The Rams always
dropped
play
from
them
4.5.
Yeah.
I wanted that 4.5. I would have actually played the Rams on 4.5, and I'm bummed about that.
But the Rams play the Seahawks well. They're at home. Seahawks have had their issues from Cam Chancellor to, you know, I don't know. And plus, there's always that little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. I feel pretty good about the Rams in this game.
General road issues sometimes for the Seahawks, too.
Yeah.
I like the Rams +4. I don't love it as much as I did, but I'd take the Rams +4.
Okay, Cardinals -2.5 against the Saints. This one I'm probably more interested in the over, the 48.5. I think the Cardinals are going to score a lot of points against the Saints, and the Saints are still good enough on offense to score as well. I do think the Cardinals win this game. As long as Carson Palmer's healthy, that's a very good football team.
Cardinals are my favorite play of the week, -2.5. As long as it's under three, I love that play. I think the Cardinals are a playoff team. I think the Saints are still struggling. So we talk about arm strength with Drew Brees, and he's going to face some blitzes against this Arizona team who's got a really, really good secondary. And if he throws up a duck at any point, I mean, they're going to take advantage of it. And I feel like right now, like you said, as long as Carson Palmer's healthy, I'm looking at Arizona as an upper-tier team, and I just don't see the Saints that way. So 2.5 at home doesn't seem that bad to me.
Lions +3 at the Chargers. I think the Lions are a very, very good football team. Chargers are pretty solid. So basically what you're saying is these teams are even. The Chargers are getting three because they're at home. I'll take the Lions here. I think the Lions go in there and win. I think the fact that Calvin Johnson is finally healthy after battling a lot of injuries last year is going to make a big difference. And I like this Lions team. It's one of those, I'm not going to fault you if you go the other way, but I like the Lions here.
Again, a no play for me. If I had to do something, though, I'd take the Lions and take the points just because I can get the points. I don't like teams that have running back by committee, and both these teams have that.
Yeah.
So that's not good for me.
Titans and Bucks. Bucks -3. I think this is trash versus garbage, and if you made me play one, I would take the points and take the Titans, but I don't like either one of these teams, and I'm not touching it.
Yeah, I'm not high on either. I would take the Titans, but I'm with you. It's not for me. Notice when if it's a game I'm not going to play, if I have a lean, it's typically to the dog, early in the season.
And I kind of feel the same way about Raiders and Bengals. Raiders 3-point home dogs against the Bengals.
I like the Raiders.
Picked up Alden Smith today, too.
Raiders +3. I actually played this game earlier at 3.5. It's +3 today, and I still like it at +3. I think the Bengals are kind of a team to fade this year, and I think the Raiders are a team on the rise. I'm not saying that you're getting like a great value in this number,
right?
Because I think the value is kind of played into what I'm saying. But I think most people think the Raiders are a team on the rise and the Bengals aren't. But 3 points at home, I'll take that.
All right, Ravens getting 4 at Denver.
Seeing 4.5.
Yeah, well, I would probably take the Ravens here. Again, I don't have a play on this, but I don't know what the Broncos are going to be. And I don't really know what the Ravens are going to be either, but I do think the Ravens, I like the Ravens better. Giving me points, I'll go ahead and take them, but I'm probably not playing this game.
I'm not playing it either. If I had to take a side, I'd probably take Denver. The thing I like the most on this is the under. I like under 48. I think everybody's looking at that game thinking it's going to be the shootout of the week. I don't see that. I don't know how Baltimore concerns me a little bit on offense.
Giants +6 at Cowboy.
I'll take the +6. I mean, that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys are better, but the Giants always play well in Dallas.
They do.
I mean, that's a... a division game, 6 points, and we're not talking about the Redskins. I mean, I think the Cowboys are better than the Giants, but 6 points is a lot.
How about this? Over 51 for me.
I like that, too.
I like that a lot.
It's a high-scoring game.
All right, the Monday games, Eagles minus 2.5 at Atlanta. First week I'm staying away from a lot, and this is a game that would intrigue me simply because I think the Eagles have a chance to be really good. I just don't know what the Falcons are going to be. New coaching staff. You know, they made some changes. I think they'll improve. I'll lean Eagle here, but I'm not playing it.
I'm seeing Eagle minus 3.
Okay.
At 2.5, I would probably lean Eagle too. But if it's 3, I probably take Atlanta. Remember, Atlanta is historically a pretty good home team. And obviously, Philly is a playoff caliber team. Atlanta is only a playoff caliber team because of the division they play in. But I'd probably take Atlanta if I could get 3. If I was getting less than 3, it's probably a no play for me.
Minnesota down to minus 2.5.
That's another
bummer. 49ers. I like the Vikings here, but that's unfortunate. But I like the Vikings.
Yeah, I'm with you. 2.5 on the Vikings. So, I think the 49ers are a really bad football team right now. And under 41.5, I don't mind either.
So my plays for the week, my 3. Not that I'm actually playing all
of these.
Okay,
give me your big 3.
Vikings.
Oh, we forgot the Texans. We didn't talk about them.
Well, we'll do them next segment because we got to go to break.
Okay.
Vikings minus 2.5 is a play. I will take Dolphin minus 3.5. And I will take over on the Cowboys-Giants.
I'll take Arizona minus 2.5, Oakland plus 3, and I'll save my third pick for after the break.
Okay, because I'm betting that involves the game we haven't talked about
That's
yet.
That's right.
All right, we'll do that when we come back. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Gotta leave town, got another appointment.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. And if you want to get in, now's your time. 713-780-3776. But first, we're going to break down the last of the games that we haven't talked about, which is your Houston Texans.
Bump, bump.
And the Kansas City Chiefs. And
what's your gut feel on this one, Fred? What kind of game are we in for?
I think we're in for a 17-13 kind of grinder game. Yeah,
it's kind of what I think too.
I mean, I think the one thing that would give me hope from a Texans perspective, I keep thinking back to last year's opener when the Chiefs got blown out at home by the Titans.
Yeah.
They just weren't ready to play the first week, and then it didn't matter. They got better as the season went on. I'm kind of wondering if that same thing doesn't happen. The Texans are better than the Titans were. There's no question. But we'll see. I honestly, from a betting perspective, the only thing I would look at would be the under. As far as the game goes, I think the value in whoever the underdog was would be in whoever the underdog is, and it's the Chiefs. So I think that's where your betting value is.
Yeah, my last play is Chiefs plus 1.5. I'd probably like it up to a pick 'em. I just think the Chiefs, you know, I think they've got a little bit more offensively. I think these teams are both really good defensive teams. I think the Texans are a little bit better. But as it stands now, the Alex Smith-Jamal Charles combo, way, way greater than Brian Hoyer, Alfred Blue, Chris Polk, Jonathan Grimes, whoever runs out there. So
yeah.
I just think offensively the Chiefs have some weapons to deal with right now. And I know everyone's like, well, the Texans defense will stamp out Jamal Charles. That's what every defense wants to do, is take away Jamal Charles. That's every defense's scheme when they play the Chiefs. Jamal Charles is still one of the best running backs in the NFL. Do I think he's going to go for 200? No. I mean, the Texans aren't. They're a really good defense. They're going to slow him. But you can't stop that guy. You can't fully shut him down, I don't think, unless you hurt him.
Yeah, and, which does happen. He does
hurt
a lot. Yeah.
But I like the addition of Macklin to that offense. I think it gives them.
They've got some speed on that offense, and that's the thing that I think is going to give the Texans trouble. And I'll be honest, if Arian Foster were playing and healthy, I would take the Texans here.
I think I would too.
Because
you can run the ball and hold the ball and keep it out of their hands, but they can't.
But from a big picture perspective here, the truth is, if you fancy yourself a playoff team, it's a team you better beat.
Because this is a team you're going to be fighting for a wild card spot with.
Absolutely. And I think both these teams are going to be in the hunt at the end. I still think the Chiefs are actually going to win their division. But from a Texans perspective, it's a game you need to win. All right.
We talked about...
That's your third pick, by the way.
That's my third pick. Yeah. When Foster got hurt, and we kind of both said, you know, when we were thinking about this team and we had these close games that were kind of coin flip games. When Foster got hurt, I started to feel like those coin flip games weren't coin flip games anymore, and Kansas City was the first one.
Right, and that doesn't mean they're not going to win. And obviously, Vegas thinks they're going to, but I wonder about this team's ability to control the clock without Arian Foster. Now, if they can do that, absolutely they can win the football game.
Right.
But it's just, I'm concerned about that, and I think it's a fair concern. We shall see. Anyway, there you go. That gets you through the NFL, and in a few minutes we'll have RJ Bell. We'll get his take on everything, which is always good. And after that, I think we'll get into some mischief because, you know, we've been very sportsy, which you kind of have to do the Friday of first NFL.
Steven says, think y'all are off on Green Bay. Bears have only covered 4 of their last 18 home games. Green Bay 12-3 against the spread versus Chicago. I get it, but this is, I mean.
I said Green Bay.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm off on that.
No, because I said Bears.
Oh, okay.
Remember, the Bears haven't been 7-point dogs at home very often either. I mean, the Packers have clearly, they're clearly the better team. It's just, if I'm getting 7.5 points.
I don't know about that coaching staff in Chicago.
I don't either.
That's the thing. So, anyway, it's no play for me.
For me either.
But
I'm just saying, if I had to make a play, it'd be on Chicago.
All right. Well, if I had to make a play, it'd be on Green Bay. So, there you have it. Quick break. When we come back, the genius that is RJ Bell will join us. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
And the sky, crane, a little drop of dreams can go so far. I know you got the anger of a bird.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And it's got to be like Christmas Day for our next guest, just like it is for us. First weekend now of NFL, plus we already had college and everything else going
RJ
on.
RJ hates the NFL, I bet.
You know what? Yeah, I bet he's probably
bored with it already after one game.
He's probably done so many radio shows where he's had to talk about all this stuff. He's like, oh, God, do we have to talk about the NFL?
Not into it anymore.
Can we talk about Led Zeppelin? Is that where you are?
You know what it's like, though? It's like Christmas Day, but I've been up all night putting the toys together.
Yeah, well.
Good point. RJ, before we get started, please tell people what one of their best weapons as a gambler is, because the first thing, you know, we have a lot of new listeners and want to make sure that they just don't jump in and play every single game here.
And that's important, especially with the TV games. But I will say this, you've got to define for yourself, are you a recreational player or are you a investor? Are you trying to win, or is winning the focus? Everyone's trying to win, but is winning the focus? Because if you're a recreational player, I've got no problem if you want to bet every game. Just make sure you bet an amount that if you lose, because you're likely going to lose, you're okay with it, right? The problem is when you think you're doing it like an investor, but you're not, because then you bet amounts which are problematic. And again, that's all relative, right? One guy bets $50. That might be a problem if he loses. Next guy, it might be $5,000. Figure that amount that's recreational and go for it, or be an investor.
RJ, let's start with the Chiefs and Texans. And almost all of your trends point to the local team not doing so well here today. But the only thing I keep thinking about, too, is last year's opener, the one time that when the Chiefs played the Titans, and then they just looked awful the first week, and then they went on to be pretty good. But tell people what you got on this game.
Yeah, I find this Chiefs team, I mean, fascinating. And I think that that's a fair statement. They did not give up a single 300-yard passer the entire season.
And they won't Sunday.
They won't on Sunday, for sure.
It's 2014, and 300 doesn't even get attention anymore. Not once in 16 games. And the flip side is, and this has been widely reported, so I won't belabor it, they had no wide receivers catch a touchdown last year. Zero. I mean, this is like 1977 type stuff. And to me, it's kind of fun. It's throwback. And I also think it's interesting in this game, the idea of how good the Chiefs are on the road. I mean, last 17 road games, They've lost against the spread only 4 times out of the 17. And Andy Reid has been great on the road his entire career. If all you had done was blindly bet on Andy Reid every time he played a road game, you would have covered 62% of the time. 83 winners, 52 losers. That's amazing. So, but the line is down in that one range. Texans favored by 1, which is clearly picked the winner. So the market is telling us Kansas City is the better team because typically home field's worth 3. So I think the line's about right. I'm not anxious to take Kansas City at Pick'em or +1, and I'm not anxious to take Houston. And remember, that's one more quick macro lesson. Most of the time, the line is right. The only time it makes sense to make a bet, if you're trying to invest, if you're trying to win, is when the line is wrong. So let's go through a quick exercise in this game. If we think Houston should be laying 3 points, that's the true line. That's what, is the accurate line. Then you bet the heck out of Houston laying 1. If you think Kansas City should be laying 3, you bet the heck out of KC laying +1 in this case. If you think it's in between, if say, maybe Houston should be 2 or 2.5, or maybe KC should be 1, you pass the game. Because even though the line's a little bit wrong, it's not wrong enough to overcome the juice, the vig, that you got to lay with the 110. So that's a great exercise. Look at the line, move it a couple points one way, and say, could you make the case that this is the right line? If you can, you might have a good bet.
A game that both of us are kind of looking at, and I'm a little concerned about this one because I'm seeing a lot of people on the Bills bandwagon here with the Bills getting points at home against the Colts. Tell me why I should stay away from this one.
I like the Bills here. It's probably my 5th or so best bet.
All right, that's 3 for 3 then, because all 3 of us like the Bills.
And I mean, here's the stat that really jumps out at you: the Colts played 19 games last year, counting the playoffs. If you take away their 4 games against Jacksonville and Tennessee, that's 15 games. In those games, they were outscored. So for me, there's just so much talk, and it's vague. Like, yeah, the Colts odds are a little inflated, a little better than you think, because look at their division. But when you quantify that they were outscored in 15 games when they don't play 2 of the worst teams in the league, I just question again. I know we've had this conversation, how good this Colts team is. And remember, especially on the road, if you look at Andrew Luck, 21-5 straight up at home, 15-13 straight up on the road. So an average, now being a little above 500 on the road is above average, but still not dominant. Bill's got a nice home field, one of the, top 10 in the league. Rex Ryan is a motivator. I think it's a new regime. I think you're going to see a fever pitch, and I'm getting points. I think the Bills for sure.
What do you think about this Raiders line? Because I look at it, and it seems like I was hoping for more value. I like the Raiders as a team to improve this year, make a big jump. I like the Bengals as a team to regress. But it seems like Vegas, as they typically do, has kind of sucked all the juice out of this line that I would have liked to see. And we see the Raiders +3 at home. What do you think of that number?
The Raiders are just such a tough team to figure out for me. I got to be honest, I'm not sure I've bet a Raiders game in 2 years. and that's another great macro lesson, right? If I give you a pick or 2, well, you can bet that game and hopefully it wins. But if I instruct or at least guide us how to pick, I think that the listeners can benefit even more. And so I'll give a macro lesson here. The only advantage, and I mean the only advantage that matters that a bettor has, is a bookmaker has to post a number on every game. You can pick and bet only the games that you have a strong opinion on. Well, how do you get a strong opinion? By feeling like you got a handle on how good team A is, how good team B is, and how they're going to play in a given situation. So with me, I don't feel like I've got a handle on the Raiders. Thus, I stay away from them using my advantage, which, plugs into that first tip that you guys gave, which is you don't want to bet every game. You want to bet the games you think the line's wrong. The only way to know that or feel good about that is to have a strong opinion about the teams. In this case, I don't with the Raiders. I would give you one stat to end this, quasi-analysis on Oakland and Cincinnati. Raiders at home since 2003, 33-60 against the spread. Ooh. And you might say, oh, wow, that's a long time. Maybe it's not as pertinent. Last 21, 7-14. This is a location without a great home field advantage, especially when this team's not winning. And that's one thing to think about is a certain home field advantage can go up or down based upon how engaged the crowd is. So let's say for the, you know, the Saints, for example, one of the best home fields when everyone's all revved up. If the Saints are having a bad year, though, it goes down. And that's the case for most teams. And obviously, Oakland hasn't been up for quite a while.
RJ, this Bears-Packers game, there's a lot of interesting stats, especially about the Bears. But how much can you apply that considering that it's a new coaching staff? Did those trends still hold up?
You know, that's always the question, right? Because on one hand, with a trend, you want more sample size. 3-1s and 5-2s don't mean a lot. But as you extend the time period that the trend spans, you get less and less pertinent. You're comparing apples to apples less than maybe apples to oranges. So I got caught in that. I should have just stopped that, but I just kept going. But here's the thing is the stats are just so eye-popping about just last year. I don't think you can ignore them. Is at one point during the Packers and Chicago's two games last year, the Pack had scored 66 straight points. I mean, that's almost – what kind of odds would I have to give you that a team's going to score 66 straight against another team over the course of two games? And then there was a time during those same two games that Green Bay had the ball and punted. When they got the ball back, it was the first of 16 straight drives they didn't punt. And then that 17th drive, they punted. Imagine not punting for 16 drives. As much as I think, yeah, there's a schematic change, I think that's a negative for the Bears because first game, second game, when you have a schematic change, it takes a while for the team to fully understand it. And the Bears have actually had position changes, guys playing new positions. So I think they're going to start slow. I think it could be a house of cards because of Cutler. He's not, you know, his leadership, I think rightfully, is called into questions. I do Chicago ESPN. And, I mean, I've been telling those guys, get ready. I think it's going to be a really low and bad season. That said, I'm not betting the Packers. I don't lay 6.5 on the road. And especially the Pack on the road last year, one of the better teams in the league, right? Made the NFC Conference Finals, right? 9 games on the road, 4-5 straight up, outscored by 23 points. This is not a good road team. I don't want to lay a big number in a division game, regardless of what's going on with the Bears.
I really like the Vikings as road favorites at San Francisco. Tell me why.
Square alert.
Tell me why I should be off that.
Oh man, seriously? Are you guys like seeing if I'm gonna like act like it's okay when you give me a goofy game or is this legit?
No, go ahead.
All right, listen. Here's the thing. You're right in that all arrows point in the direction of fade in San Francisco in this case, but that's why the line is what it is. I mean, literally, this game opened with Harbaugh gone, with, you know, a lot of the turmoil already established that San Fran has gone through. You know, it wasn't new. It already had happened. San Fran was favored by 4.5. In the interim, the 49ers have received more negative money, more betting against them from the pros than any team in memory. That's with games, that's with season wins, that's with everything, winning the division. They've been bet against up and down A to Z. On the other hand, Minnesota has got the most positive money. So think about that. You've got the most negative money on San Fran, or the most fading, the most positive or support on Minnesota, and they're playing each other on Monday night, and the line's gone from San Fran at home, favored by 4.5, to now they're getting 2.5 points at home. Yeah, if you could have got plus 4.5, you have a great bet. You're late to the party. Stay away. Actually, one of my top picks of the week is San Fran at this point, and I'll give you one more stat. And this is a very powerful concept. 49ers on Monday Night Football, going all the way back to 1989. Now, here's an example of huge sample size, right? 36-12 against the spread, 36-12. Now, a listener might say, or one of you guys, wait a minute, 89, what does that matter, right? Joe Montana, what does that matter? Well, think about one of the drivers of this is when you're on the West Coast and you play a home game, right, like this game. And let's just say half of San Fran's Monday night games are home, right? You're at home. What is your internal clock when the game starts? 5:30. Now, if you're playing an East Coast team, or in this case, a Midwest team, their internal clock is 7:30 or 8:30 with an East Coast team. As the night goes on, when it's the fourth quarter, it's like midnight or 1 a.m. for the East Coast team and not near as late for San Fran. That's something to think about with these night games with West Coast teams. That's one of the drivers of that amazing trend. Love San Francisco.
All right. Well, we'll see. We'll see how much that applies, because I think that is a terrible coaching staff.
Listen, you want to do a nice steak dinner.
Yeah. Well,
I'm talking, I'm talking appetizer, faux gras. If you want to do a nice steak dinner, we can do it.
Yeah. You know what? Let's do that just for fun, because we're going to be out there in November anyway.
All right. I'm getting three. Is that what you're giving me?
Two and a half is
all right. All right, I'll give you two and a half.
All right.
Hey, real quick, before if we got a second before we run, we've got a real special thing up at pregame.com right now. You guys have heard of the Super Contest, right? It's the biggest contest in the world when it comes to handicapping. It's $1,500 to enter. We've got online a free version of that, so it replicates it. It's a copy of it exactly for free. And if you win, the winner gets a $1,500 entry into next year's Super Contest to compete against the big boys. Or you can take cash if you don't want to be in the Super Contest. That's free right now, but you got to sign up 5 picks a week before kickoff on Sunday.
Awesome. So check it out at pregame.com. And people can also hear you every day now, right?
Absolutely. ESPN Las Vegas, we do a show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, and it streams on ESPN Las Vegas, and the podcast goes up at pregame.com.
All right. RJ, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
Enjoy the games, guys.
All right.
All right, I'm going to tell you about DFC Interior Cleaning. Guys, kids are back in school, and the last thing you want to do is think about what the summertime has done to your carpets. You know, you're going to pool parties, you know, kids are out playing outside, riding their bikes, playing baseball, and they're dragging all that stuff into your house. Good news is you don't have to worry about it, not when you've got DFC on your side. I've used DFC. I used them in Austin when my renters had destroyed my carpets. I thought I was going to have to replace the whole thing. I used them in Houston when I was getting my house ready to sell. They do fantastic work. They always leave your floors looking like new. They're Houston's leading carpet cleaning professionals. They don't use soap. They don't use chemicals. Which is safe. It makes it safe for you, safe for your kids, safe for your pets. And it, you know, those chemicals that the other guys are using, that's damaging your carpet fiber. So it's breaking down your carpet. These guys are using non-toxic patented pre-spray along with super water with their truck powered units, and combined, the technology is what sets them apart. And it's not just carpet, guys. They do tile, stone, leather, oriental rugs, upholstery, air ducts, marble, and they do it all with that unique patented technology. Call now. You'll get a family four pack to the Texas Renaissance Festival with any purchase, and after your long day of fun activities at the Renaissance Festival, you'll come home to a clean house. That's always a good feeling. Call 281-347-8373, 281-347-8373, or visit them online at dirtfreecarpet.com for 24-hour scheduling and additional specials. That's 281-347-8373 for DFC Interior Cleaning.
Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Come out to Luke's Ice House for college game day viewing parties. A.J. Hoffman and the ESPN 97.5 road crew kick the party off with A&M, Texas, and LSU Saturday at 6. Plus, you can register to win Texas Cal tickets in Austin with a free night stay at Red Roof Inn on September 19th. And so you'll be out there this week, and I'm out there next week. I'll be at Luke's. So come check us out. Before we get to the gym of the day, a stat that Julia Morales tweeted out earlier as the Astros open their series in Anaheim.
Yeah.
Dallas Keuchel at home, 13-0, 1.49 ERA.
That's good. That's good at sport.
On the road, 4-6, 3.35.
It's funny, is that still pretty good?
That is still pretty good. Yeah.
Not nearly as good.
Yeah, yeah. It shows you that.
But I mean, you know what? You could put his name, or you could put any other Astros name, and they all play terrible on the road.
And you know what? Most really good pitchers for almost every team, there's going to be a difference. Yeah. They're going to be better at home. All right, let's do it.
Did you hear also? Julia Morales actually tweeted this out earlier that Scott Feldman's out for the season.
Yeah, I heard that on Bellotti's update too. So.
Which kind of to me, that's more of a. It affects the probability of them making the playoffs more than it affects them in the playoffs. because I don't think Feldman was going to be part of their rotation in the playoffs. But I do think it'd be nice to have that arm on your way there.
It would, because basically what this means, you still got five pretty good starting pitchers, but now if one of your guys starts pitching like garbage, you don't have that option of moving him in there.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, you played golf before.
Yeah.
You probably hit a ball off into the woods at some point.
More than I've hit onto the short grass, my friend.
Well, and I've done the same. And, you know, at certain points you go look for the ball in the woods, right?
I always want to find my, unless it's like, you know, sometimes I hit it and it's like over the trees into the woods. I'm not looking for that. But typically what I will do is if I hit it into the woods like that, I'll go over to the tree line and find another ball and take that one.
Over the trees and far away, as it were.
Yeah.
Well, here's a reason why you should probably just leave the ball in there and not mess with it.
It's an alligator?
No. Let's see if you can guess the creature. No alligator. It's a good guess.
It's a snake?
It's not a snake.
A hippopotamus.
Not a hippopotamus.
I've got one more guess.
Not a rabid beaver.
That wasn't my guess. No. How about an armadillo?
A good guess, but also incorrect.
Are they ornery? Will they bite you and stuff?
I know they carry rabies and stuff. I don't know if they can actually bite. Do they have teeth?
I've
never gotten close enough to one.
If they're going to pass it to you, they got to do it somehow. You don't typically shake hands with an armadillo. I would guess it'd have to bite you or something.
If I see an armadillo, I just tend to avoid him. I don't know enough about them other than that they're all over Texas.
Depending on what golf club I had would depend on how I would deal with that armadillo.
Well, yeah, that armadillo, if it's the driver, he's going 250 yards.
See, I'd worry I'd break my driver. If I had an iron, though, I'm taking that iron to him.
But you know what? I'm going to break my driver at some point anyway. So I might as well do it, knocking an armadillo into the next fairway. Anyway, well, an Ohio man was golfing at Treetops Resort, went into a wooded area to search for a ball, when all of a sudden from the ground, a swarm of bees.
Ugh.
At least
bees.
This guy gets stung at least 20 times. And this is the worst part. He gets stung by these bees. He's playing with a doctor. And he dies. A doctor can't save him.
Come on, Doc. You got one job, bro.
Apparently, he had no known allergies to bees, but the intensity of so many stings in a short time quickly caused a major medical issue. He reported feeling sick. Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
And then began experiencing trouble breathing. His doctor friend had said he had few resources on the course, and he could have been saved had he been able to get to an emergency room.
He could have been saved if you were a better doctor.
No kidding. Come on, Doc. Did you skip the part on bee stings in medical school?
Yeah.
I'm a gynecologist. I don't have to deal with that.
What if you get a vaginal bee sting?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it doesn't say what kind of doctor he was. He might have been some kind of quack, so... of course.
You think he was like a psychiatrist?
No, he was an actual medical doctor.
Oh, okay. Do you think he was a dentist? Because, you know, dentists always call themselves doctors.
Right. That's the whole hangover thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're a dentist.
Yeah.
Of course, the general manager of the golf course, you know what his first line is? Guess what is with the family and friends of Daryl Deaver?
Thoughts and prayers.
Our thoughts and prayers. Oh. Yes.
He said that out loud, or did he tweet it?
That was his statement. He just said, "Our thoughts and prayers are with the family and friends of Daryl Deaver during this very difficult time. This truly is a tragedy that is so unexpected. Nothing like this has happened at Treetop since the first golf course was built in 1987. That's not that long ago.
Yeah.
87? Yeah, of course. One bee sting since 1987 that killed somebody? That's not that great of a record.
No.
Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Come back. We'll get back to the phone calls, and we will have Jong's selections for this weekend.
You got them, Jong? You ready to rock?
Yeah, I'm usually bad at these. So
yeah, well, that's the point. Yeah, neither Fred or I wants to come in last place in this game. So
exactly.
We asked you to play with us.
Yeah, there's a reason we always involve you.
All right, guys, going to tell you once again about Sports Manias. And if you play fantasy football, this is an app that you need to know about. I just picked this thing up a couple weeks ago, and it is really helping keep things organized for me. Go to the App Store and check it out. The app is totally free. Search for Sports Manias, one word, and you're going to get an instant leg up on your competition. You import your fantasy team from Yahoo, CBS, or ESPN, and you'll get personalized feeds from fantasy football experts, including tweets about your players, breaking news about your players, scoring opportunities, fantasy points. You get real-time updates on your players, which will help you make smarter lineup decisions. And I tell you, the best thing about it is the fact that you can put all of your fantasy teams onto one app, so you don't have to go through each app and check out what your team looks like. I've been using this thing. I've got all my teams, all my leagues combined into this app, and it's super easy to navigate. It's really user-friendly, which is why I'm telling you about it, obviously. As an added bonus, you'll receive an alert every time your players are in the red zone, and they're bringing you a new fantasy tool that gives you an edge to help dominate your league. It's not just fantasy. If you don't play fantasy, you can just get updates on all your favorite teams or your players. You can input all the guys that you care about and follow them that way. Get on your cell or your tablet now. Go to the App Store. Download Sports Manias for free right now. Give it a try. Sports Manias. This time, don't you
please. The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gal Media station.